We ready?
Oh, yeah. Well, nice to meet each other.
All right. And we can pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, move to approve the Rout County check sheet for October 18th, 2016. Cycle date, October 10th through October 14th. Accounts payable check, $690,510.69. Accounts payable wires, $195,090.70 for a total of $885,601.39, and payroll checks in the amount of $421,206.51 for total disbursements approved of $1,306,807.90.
Second. Items of note, Tom?
Yes, I'd like you to bring to your attention payment to Baseline Engineering Group for funding IS pool for the fiber optic build project, payment of $7,595.66. Payment to Connell Resources, this is for from the road and bridge infrastructure pool, and this is for the paving of the District 3 shop parking lot, $306,225.55. Payment to CMRS-POC. Believe it or not, that is prepaid postage. $15,000. Had no idea what that was for. But anyway,
a magic balance, yeah.
Yeah, probably was. Colorado West Contracting Inc. This is Road and Bridge, and this is for the work on the Art Deco Bridge, $24,434 bridge, the bridge payment. Payment to Federal Custom Works Inc. This is a building and plant pool, and this is for to build or to build the nurses room at the jail. Actually, it was a remodel, $2,455.95.
Must have just been for some cabinetry.
Probably was.
Yeah.
I'm not sure for specific.
That's what they do.
That's what we had planned anyway. A bigger part of that project. A payment to Mindcast North America Inc. This is IS. And this is a payment for support for system security for our IS network, $12,200. Payment to Native Excavating. This is for pipe repair for the Pittsburgh water system, $4,085.21. Payment to Northwest Consulting Inc. And this is for the Road and Bridge Weed Shop. The weed shop that's being placed into District 3, the weed shed that's going to be placed at the District 3 Road and Bridge Shop. Payment of $45,734. Payment to Night Tops Tactical Inc. This is for the Sheriff's Office, one unit of Thermosight.
Of what?
Thermosight. These are goggle type glasses.
Oh. You
see it at night. $5,499. Payment to Precision Sharpening. This was Road and Bridge, and this is for this is for chainsaw and parts. Actually, this wasn't the chainsaw. This was for the concrete saw.
Right.
Janet told you about this
yesterday. Yeah.
$2,217.81. And that was a unit that we had been renting and using it so much, she decided that it was better to go ahead and buy it outright. Payment to Inside Public Sector, Inc. This is IS for the purchase of PCs, monitors, laptops, and hardware for something called the NBD, $80,876.53. And then to Yay Associates, this is Road and Bridge for the slide investigation on County Road 27, $11,679.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
No, we don't have any consent agenda items. So.
Well, we do it after.
Oh.
I'm going to say that yesterday we had our county manager and legal update.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We had an update from our road and bridge department, our clerk and recorder, talking to us about how busy they are down in that office right now. Human services update, an environmental health update, and I believe that we wrapped up yesterday with our final annual budget session for the draft 2017 budget. And now we will move on to our 10:05 item, which is a legislative session recap and 2017 preview with State Representative Diane Mitch Bush. And Catherine, you can come join us up here.
I don't think the rest of the crowd will feel have their feelings hurt.
Well, I'm seeing hundreds of people come up the stairs right now.
There's my call.
Well, thank you for having me. And as I hope you know, it's an honor to be your state representative, to represent Rock County and Eagle County in the Colorado House. As I think you know, when you're down in the House, or for that matter, the Senate, but since I'm in the House, I'll talk about that, the majority of legislators, as the majority of population, are from the Front Range. So a lot of what I do down there, other than the obvious, you know, bills and committees and so on and so forth, hey, Chad, how are you? Is educating. There are only five representatives out of the 65 who are from the Western Slope, and two of those are from Grand Junction. So when we think of rural Western Slope, Colorado, there aren't many of us. And from mountain towns...
That's a good thing.
There are three of us, you know. So,
in terms of human population.
Yeah, well, right, exactly, exactly. So a lot of that education revolves around transportation, water especially, broadband needs, what we can certainly talk about, and to a lesser extent, land use issues. One of the things that really surprised me when I first started serving as your representative in January 2013 is the lack of knowledge about land use, in particular some of the things that we've done and other mountain counties have done. For example, as you may know, in the 2015 Colorado Water Plan, one of the big breakthroughs was to link water planning with land use planning. Well, as I always told people in committee, Rock County's been doing that for years. So there is a large education element here, which we'll come back to, I think, as we look at particular issues. The handout I gave you is actually the wrap-up for this past session, and I want to use it as a springboard, if I may, to go to what I think we're going to be dealing with in 2017. That certainly affect our county. Obviously, the budget affects everyone. It is the only bill that constitutionally we are required to pass, and we are required to balance it. And because we're required to balance it, we really do make a lot of tough decisions and try to think in a give and take kind of fashion, both within our own caucuses, and that's how we do the budget. For those of you who don't know what happens, it's kind of different from a county or a city budgeting process. Technically, according to the Constitution, the governor presents the legislature, which in this case is really the JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, with his budget, or hers, not hers yet, in the first working day of November. So the JBC, the Joint Budget Committee, has already been working for months. Every agency goes before them in the interim and meets with them, presents their budget to the JBC. Then the governor presents his budget to the JBC. And of course, as the executive, he is the executive of all the agencies. And so it's the agencies, just like the departments in our county. Then the JBC works on that and sort of reiterates through with the agencies. And then by the time that process is done, it's usually March. And then we use the March 31st economic forecast. And then the JBC presents us with the long bill because it's so long. It has nothing to do with Lowell's Peak, as many people think. And that's the bill then we consider. The way we consider it in the House, and it's pretty similar in the Senate, is in the House we divide up into our two caucuses for 2 days. So the Democrats meet in one hearing room, the Republicans meet in the other one. We go through the budget, line by line, and using the expertise of our Joint Budget Committee people. We are very lucky that the chair of the Joint Budget Committee this year was Representative Millie Hamner from Summit County, so she understands our issues. Institute, and the ranking Republican House member is Bob Rankin, who's from Carbondale. So they understand, you know, those budget issues, you know, from our perspective as well as from, you know, the Front Range perspective. In each of our caucuses, if people have amendments with JBC always discourages, and a JBC member always votes no on every amendment because, you know, they've spent a lot of time on this. And then once we've gotten through that, then we go back to the floor and debate the amendments, and then we adopt the budget, and then we send it over to the Senate. This year, one of the most troubling amendments that was proposed, and we came to a compromise about it, was an amendment to cut out all of the budget for CDPHE, Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment's air quality monitoring testing program. And it was very political. It was because of the president's clean climate action plan. And it really has, there's some relationship, but not much. Luckily, as you see there in the middle paragraph, we were able to come to a compromise. So the budget was signed. It was a bipartisan budget. I'm not going to belabor my bills. If you have particular questions about them, you can see that all of my bills here, all the ones that passed, are co-prime sponsored. That's not co-sponsored. That's two prime sponsors with my Republican colleagues. And as some of my bills focused on, the Farmer Rancher bill was huge, of course, for many of our constituents. It had been defeated by politics in the Senate in 2015, and it did pass through this year. Public Lands Day is pretty important. That was Senator Donovan's bill. I and Representative Becker, K.C. Becker, there are two Beckers in the House, carried that bill. It was simply a bill to create a day to celebrate public lands in our state. But there was an awful lot of grandstanding about transfer of public lands, lots of arguments about how bad the Forest Service is, et cetera. Two bills that I was a critical part of, but I was not actually a sponsor of, that had a lot to do with us. One of them was a water bill that we've been working on since 2013, didn't pass in 13, didn't pass in 14. We didn't introduce it in 15, we introduced it this year in the past. Lots of stakeholder work. As you may recall, back in 2011, the U.S. Forest Service in Washington declared that any new Sierra permit would require giving the Forest Service the Ski Area's water rights. And of course that, you know, conflicts with Colorado law, and it's also very problematic. So this bill was to kind of fix that to the extent we can at the state level. The other bill was a bill prime sponsored by Representative Hamner from Summit County, Representative Rankin from Garfield County, and I was in that stakeholder group, and I've actually been working on the issue since 2013. To direct the Division of Insurance to study why our health insurance premiums are so high. We have the dubious distinction of having the highest premiums in the country. So one of the things that came out of that, the report did come out, the report did show that our premiums, if we had a single risk rating region, would decline by 22.3%. That wasn't in the press release, by the way. The Division of Insurance was very concerned that insurance companies would move out. Well, they've already moved out. So I kept pressing on the insurance commissioner, and Lieutenant Governor is now the chair of a stakeholder group that I've been meeting with and will continue to meet with. That stakeholder, and this is kind of what we're going to be doing next time, that stakeholder group is then comprised of the executive, the Lieutenant Governor, the Division of Insurance, DORA in general, the Division of Regulatory Agencies, Jonah Goose heads that up, and then the big insurance companies and hospitals. They had not invited the Yampa Valley Medical Center because we don't want the group to be too big. That would make it unwieldy. Well, I invited the Yampa Valley Medical Center, and they, of course, are attending the meetings.
Who did they send to attend?
Last time they sent Brian Roach, who was the CFO. This next time, which will be next week in Summit County, both Frank May and Brian Roach will be there. And we've had some really good discussions, but we're still sort of only inching there. One of the problems is that the term cost gets bandied about a lot, when actually what the insurance commissioner and the all-payer claims database really have are not costs. They're negotiated prices. These are negotiated prices that, as you know, are private contractual agreements between the insurance company and the provider, whether it's a hospital or a clinic or whatever it is. Those aren't the costs of providing care. And so it's kind of a black box. So last time, Mike Ramsire, who is one of the VPs of Anthem, came a presentation that helped with that a little, but still less than entirely clear. So this next time we're going to try to look at solutions. We need a short-term solution because, as I pointed out in our last meeting, as I pointed out repeatedly to the commissioner, our constituents, particularly those in the donut hole above FPL, federal poverty level of 400%, who are a little older, who are 45 to, you know, 55, whatever, and don't have children, they don't get a tax credit. So, I mean, it's more than half their income. So
can I jump in right
here? Yeah,
please. Okay.
Please.
So I met Lieutenant Governor met with the AGNC membership on Saturday in Rifle. So we got to run through a lot of these issues, and she gave a lot of good information, but she became particularly animated when the topic of health care and health insurance came up in particular. And she said emphatically that your group would be acting very quickly and decisively for a short-term solution and a long-term solution. Of course, I'm very curious. Do you guys do think you have some plans to
The short-term
to actually implement?
That I threw out to the group and that I talked to both our members of JBC, our House members, that is Rankin and Hanover, was even though we have such a tight budget, and by the way, there's another issue I want to talk about, which is severance tax and the BP case. I mean, what's hitting our budget, well, part of what's hitting our budget. But we have to have some kind of help for that group I just referred to, who get caught in the middle, who are kind of a donut hole. And one idea would be some kind of fund to help them. It wouldn't totally pay the difference because we don't have that much money.
Really? You think you're going to be able to find money in the state budget for a subsidy for health insurance?
We're going to try. We're going to target. That's the short
and then
term.
This whole idea, I mean, we've been thinking, well, just make the state one region. Just make the state one region.
That was what our bill
right. But I think what we heard from the Lieutenant Governor is there's resistance to that on the front range, of course, because they're saying, well, why should we be paying? And, of course, the population is down there, so is that going to happen?
That's not going to happen, but let me clarify the data, because they're not telling you the whole story. Only three areas would have seen an increase in their premiums, and those would have been between 4.5% and 6%.
We included the whole state in one region.
Region. That's what the study showed.
Okay.
One of them was Boulder, one of them was Denver, and one of them was Colorado Springs. Four Collins, Greeley, Pueblo, all would have seen a drop. The Eastern Plains would have seen a big drop. San Luis Valley would have seen a drop, and as I said, we would have seen 22%.
Why isn't there support for that then?
Let me interrupt you, because I understand perfly why you have a lot of legislators right in those areas that would be opposed to it. Why was the insurance commissioner so adamantly opposed to considering this?
That is what is really frustrating to me, frankly. She is very concerned that this will bankrupt the insurance companies. That insurance companies will leave the state. They've already left the state. That insurance companies will refuse to serve our region. We already have them all but one refusing to serve our region. That's Anthem. It's the only one that serves our region for 2017. So I argued with her and and the stakeholder group is what we came up with. So we shall, to be continued.
Okay.
We shall see.
The long term, though, it's at least one more year until November of next year before we'll see any kind of relief other than your short term solution.
Rankin and Hander and I are going to be running some bills for everything. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. I don't know what that looks like, but we have used now the word emergency and crisis. Again, again.
I don't think you're understating the situation by using those words.
No, not at all. So that's going to be a big issue this session. Another thing that's going to be a big issue is the budget. As you know, severance tax, which primarily comes from oil and gas, has gone down, and it's also volatile. And it also is such an important basis of the Colorado state budget, most particularly for those who are concerned with implementing the water plan. Because CWCB, the Colorado Water Conservation Board, is almost entirely funded by Tier 2 severance tax. As you well know here, Also, DOLA, the Energy Assistance Grants are funded for severance tax. The BP case, which was decided by the Colorado Supreme Court the last week of session, which is always tough to do bills, only was for BP, okay, and that's quote-unquote only, please put quotation marks around that, $120 million we have to pay them. But if all the other oil companies who affected, you know, brought cases, I mean, there are different estimates.
Would they have to go through the courts, or wouldn't they be able to apply directly to DOLA for those refunds based upon the BP court case?
We don't know.
Irv Halter and John Swartout were both at the meeting on Saturday as well, and there seemed to be there was a little bit of a tip off that there might be more refunds coming. That
was always my impression, that they just had to make the refunds.
Well, it is
if anybody
case
asks.
Law from the Supreme Court. It is precedent now that this does count. The pipelines do count as transportation, and that the Department of Revenue had read it wrong. So I don't know what the numbers are going to be. I don't know how many they're going to be. But in addition to that problem, we also have the problem, not looming so much for the 17-18 budget, but for the 18-19 budget, although it may affect the 17-18 budget, is Tabor refunds. That may be quite problematic.
So when you know that this potential problem is out there on the horizon with severance tax, I know that there was even some reluctance to get out severance tax for this funding year, and fortunately you all did, but some nervousness around that. Do you think that the state's going to use severance tax to try to balance some of their budget or find extra money? Because that would only exacerbate the problem, if then the refunds come in as well.
I mean, the sweeps of severance tax have, since I've been up, they've come up twice. They've always voted against them. I don't have the votes because I'm from the Western Slope, but they probably will come up again. A lot of our friends in the Front Range do not understand how important severance is.
Maybe you have a stronger argument now, right, with the Supreme Court case to leave the money sitting there to see what happens?
There's not going to be that much to sweep.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, why are you sweeping when there's not much to sweep? Yeah. About people, for example, 2 years ago, get my ears goofed up. One very respected member who is himself a retired firefighter proposed a bill to use severance tax for firefighters' retirement. And I went and talked to an individual and said, you can't do this. You can't do this. So I ended up speaking on the floor, because it doesn't come to the committee I'm on, with the Republicans, mostly West Slope, not all, and voting against my colleague's bill, because it just, I talked to him and he wouldn't listen. Now I think I carry more sway than I did then. That was either 13 or 14, because he lost in 14. But anyway, that's one issue. Another issue, which of course is huge, which we tried to deal with 2 years in a row, is transportation funding. This past year, we had the hospital provider fee bill. That bill would have made the hospital provider fee into an enterprise fund, which would have made it exempt from the Tabor limit.
Yeah, we got all that.
Yeah.
You know about
that. Yeah, we know all about that.
And AG&C and Club 20 both came out in strong support of refunds early.
So my question is would they be able to devote that money any place they wanted to? Or
no, there's usually this year there was a companion bill that was discussed, and it specifically said this much money for this. So it was.
But they don't need to. The legislature can create its own categories.
Oh yes,
and how to do it. They don't have to have some kind of nexus. To medical. Medicaid or anything like that.
In the companion bill, which was part and parcel of the hospital provider fee bill, both years 15 and 16, there were categories, with the largest category going to K-12, then transportation, mental health, higher ed were the main categories. And those are categories that we've tried to add to, since I've been in, but we just don't.
So what did happen? I thought the Senate had that one vote from Larry Crowder.
They didn't put it on committee.
It never got out of committee. That's right, it got killed.
It's staffed by some very, which is not staffed. It's three people.
Do you think the prospects have changed?
Very conservative. Douglas County, El Paso County, yeah. Anti-tax. And the thing was, the president of the Senate got himself in a hole the first week of the session because he came out swinging, saying, I'm not going to support this. And then after that, his own attorney general came out and said, it's not unconstitutional. And then John Southers, who is now the mayor of Colorado Springs, who was a former Republican attorney, said, no, it's not unconstitutional. You know, there's nothing wrong with it.
So even if the balance of power remained the same in the state Senate, do you think it has any better
it
prospects?
It might have a chance because there'll be a different Senate president. Who used to the budget committee. I mean, if the Republicans retain control of the Senate, it'll likely be Grantham. And he's pretty smart on the budget.
On the joint budget committee, will we have a new joint budget committee? Will there be new members appointed, another one stepping down? Or what's
the speaker in the House, the speaker and minority leader appoint the members of the joint budget committee, just as they do all other committees.
Is there any chance they'll reappoint the ones that we have now? Or
I certainly hope so. There may be, I mean, it depends what the House Republican makeup is. There is a group who calls themselves the Liberty Caucus in the House Republican Caucus, and they pride themselves on saying no to everything and, frankly, not reading the bills. My other Republican colleagues are very frustrated with them, but, you know, obviously they've got to deal with that. And so we'll see. I hope Bob Rankin gets reappointed. He is so together. And I am sure that Millie, here I use first names down there because I would never do that. We always say Representative, but that Representatives Hamner and Young will be reappointed as well. So I sure do hope so. Now, the biggest loss on the budget committee is on the Senate side, term-limited Pat Steadman. Nobody in the Senate knew the budget the way he did. Nobody. So, I mean, that's going to be a different kettle of fish, you know, pretty much. The other issue is broadband. So far, as you guys know, 87 local governments, whether counties or municipalities, have voted to opt out of Senate Bill 152, just as Rock County did. So while that certainly is one way to, you know, solve some of the problems, a bunch of us have been trying to work together to figure out some kind of legislative solution so everybody doesn't have to go through these elections. I mean, they've been very successful, but that's another huge issue. It's a really important issue.
We talked about with the Peabody bankruptcy and the crisis for the Scirocco School District that there might be some potential to come up with some kind of legislation to revisit the school finance formula to allow for that kind of...
Representative Hamner, who knows more about school finance than anybody, she used to be the superintendent in Eagles. She was a teacher for years. She was Senator Donovan's third grade teacher. she is trying to work on coming up with some changes that I think would be helpful.
In terms of recognizing that non-payment of taxes is the same as having decreased valuation in your district.
Exactly. I mean, that's an issue, but we also might have just a separate bill to deal with impacted communities where there is some kind of bankruptcy. I mean, some of our rural communities have a prison. If a private prison leaves, same deal. Here, of course, 20 Mile isn't leaving. By the way, I've been in contact, as you might have seen in the election guide, for over a year and a half with Michael Blank, who's their head government relations guy out of St. Louis and Washington. And he has promised me in writing that the mine will not be closing and that jobs benefits will remain the same. And the other question I asked him is, will the contracts with Xcel Hayden Power Plant be honored? And his answer was yes. And then I also am in pretty frequent communication with Michelle Sturmer, who is the lobbyist for Xcel Capital. And we have a good relationship, and she has assured me that this is one of their, you know, shining stars. So I think in both cases, those who are saying, oh, Twin Falls is going to close, that is really not accurate. And I really don't like it when, especially, you know, elected officials, not here, but from other places,
or say things like that.
I have one more off the wall question, but do you want to go first?
No,
I'm sorry.
We can run over a few minutes.
Yeah, we can absolutely run over a few minutes.
So this is a little bit off
the wall. We can run over more than a few minutes.
This is a little bit off the wall, and I don't know that if this is a legislative issue or a rulemaking issue, but we're getting pretty close, I think, the commissioners to considering expanding accessory dwelling units in unincorporated Route County. And one of the things that looks like be a tremendous roadblock is that the division engineer has stated that even a small 800 square foot attached dwelling unit would require a second well permit. And I think there's a lot of us that feel like that's just a little bit over the top for somebody that has a 2,000 square foot house and they want to add an 800 square foot accessory dwelling unit, that they should somehow have to have two wells, whereas somebody that has a 12 or 15,000 square foot house only has to have one well.
Let me find out more, but my first blush response is that, you know, water law is really court precedent. I mean, that's what water law is. And while the legislature certainly, you know, passes some...
So let me interrupt you. I think that there's a question in our mind whether she's relying upon law or if she's just making her
rules.
own rule locally.
Yeah, and that's what I need to find out, whether this is a rule or whether it has, you know, it's a court case precedent law. I don't know the answer to that question.
All right, thanks.
But I will find out. Speaking of that, speaking of water, you can expect to see a flurry of bills. And you can count on me, as I have been doing, to pay attention to the ones that will make Trans Mountain diversions easier. And we are always seeing those bills. And one of them, I had to go to the mat at the governor's office and spend, I think correctly, some political capital. I asked him to veto it. I thought it was a god-awful bill. One of my Democratic colleagues ran the bill. Alan Salazar, who's the governor's, you know, right-hand guy, whatever you want to call him. That's not his title. His title is policy or something. But anyway, basically said, look, Diane, you can't veto it. I mean, Northern Water, Colorado Springs, you know, all the furniture. I said, fine, we need an amendment. It had already passed in the second reading. And so this was like, I got the speaker and the majority leader to put off third reading, which you can do. You know, you don't have to do it in 24 or 48 hours. You can wait. So we finally crafted a third reading amendment that the governor's office made clear to the bill sponsor that, you know, she had to see it as a friendly amendment. I offered it on the floor, it was a friendly amendment. I think that amendment, the negative impacts are blunted, but we can keep looking to see more of these. And I think it's really important. People are going to use the water plan as an excuse. And let me explain one thing. Being on the Interim Water Committee, which is appointed by Basin, so I represent the Yampa and the Colorado, which means Roaring Fork, essentially the Eagle, and that part of the Colorado that goes, you know, through my district, our district. We went as the Water Resources Review Committee. No, it's a bipartisan committee, of course, House and Senate. We went to every basin in 2013, 14, 15. 2015 was the last iteration where they were presenting us with their final VIP basin implementation plans. Every basin but one had way up in the PowerPoint and way up in their VIP some combination of conservation or efficiency. One, the South Platte, did not. The first line in their PowerPoint was new supply. Well, of course, that's a god-awful euphemism, and I always correct people when they use it, for Trans Mountain diversions. There's no such thing as new supply, you know? It may be new to you, it's not new to us. And so I am concerned about that. And I'm also concerned, you were just talking about some money for PBIRG and for the, you know, wastewater, because of the severance tax issue, the water supply reserve account, WSRA bill that comes every year, it's called, you know, the projects bill, that comes primarily, well, solely, out of severance tax money for CWCB, that is the Colorado Water Conservation Board. And that money is going to be a much smaller pot than it was before. And I think I can get some bipartisan support to make sure that our smaller rural communities don't lose out in this. Because what I don't want to see is the big Front Range projects, you know, taking up the entire pot of money. In the past, the Water Supply Reserve account, the projects bill, has always been kind of, you know, okay, there's some in Front Range, there's some over here, there's some in Southeast Valley, you know, et cetera. And so we have to make sure that we continue to do that.
Okay. Let me see. Does anyone else at the table, do you guys have some questions for... Okay. One other off-the-wall thing that I heard the Lieutenant Governor say, which was music to my ears, was this idea of devoting more to the transportation system, to the Western Slope, as something for economic development, because there are companies that are on the Front Range that don't like Front Range, and they're looking at rural areas, so they're... It's an idea of moving some of them to the Western Slope and having a transportation network in place. I had never heard that before, and we talk a lot about economic development over here on the Western Slope. So what's that coming out of? It seemed like something that she had been discussing with different groups when I heard it.
I know that she totally has. A couple things.
Because we like that idea.
Yeah.
More transportation dollars instead of everything on the Front Range and... Companies that are interested
already,
in our rural lifestyle.
There are two different things there. There are transportation dollars in companies, which are related, but they're not the same. Transportation dollars are already, to a great extent, those that come under the purview of the TPR's transportation planning regions. Those are fairly equitably, how's that for a...
Yeah. I agree. It's a reasonable division.
One of the issues that is going to come up around transportation funding is a horrible bill, actually, that got voted over my...
You're still alive.
...protestations out of the Transportation Legislation Review Committee, which is the Interim Transportation Committee. It was a fiscal shell game bill by Senator Bogarde. But it really wasn't by him, it's really by a lobbyist, because when I asked him questions, he couldn't explain them. This bill would have taken 5% off the top of our general fund sales tax revenue for 20 years. 20 years off the top. That ain't working. The other thing it would have done, which is also very, very questionable, is taken the $167 million, which we have been paying, CDOT has been paying, on our debt service for the original Transbond projects, the 1999 projects. In there, there's only one project that was never done, and that was the I-70 project. And I think there's beginning to be a realization that we better get kicking here a little bit. We've already had great success in terms of the Twin Tunnels, now called the Veterans Tunnels Project at the Third Lane, and in terms of the Mountain Express Lane, which has decreased travel times, increased average speeds, you know, on those busy weekends. But, you know, we're not done. So what's, I think, interesting about this bill is it will come up again because it's I-20, it's North I-25 that's pushing it. And most of the projects... They list projects, okay? And they didn't list dollar amounts in the bill, since, you know, that would make it obvious what they're doing. But when you, I mean, I know transportation dollars, and when you looked at those projects, you're talking multi-million dollar projects compared to much smaller projects for the Intermountain and the Northwest. So it's an awful bill in so many ways. Oh, and the $167 million, it's already pre-programmed for long deferred maintenance that we haven't done on roads. So they'd be taking money away from maintenance, which is why CDOT was opposed to the bill. It passed out of TLRC, but Legislative Council has to okay all interim committee bills before they can be designated as interim committee bills and then introduced as such in the session. Leg Council nixed it because it would tie up the budget for 20 years. I mean, so people are looking for solutions, and I think the time is right to sit down at the table and start talking. I'm not sure what particular solution Donna Lynn was talking about, but I'm going to ask her. But the hospital provider fee would have at least given us that little bit. You know, it was only $150 million 1 year, $170 million another year. I mean, we're down $1 billion a year. But it would have helped.
Right.
So we shall see. And I know the probable speaker, I keep calling her the probable speaker, is very invested in a transportation funding solution, and she and I have been talking about.
Who's that?
Crescenta Duran.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Especially during this busy time and for letting us run over.
Yeah. Well, thank you all very much.
Yeah,
for
thank
you,
Diane.
It's
yeah,
a it's, ton of information.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People down at the House, especially in committee, are so sick and tired of hearing me raise my hand and say, well, in Rock County, this is what we do.
Vicki Clark has the same problem with human services.
Yeah, yeah. In Rock County, this is what we do.
Well, thanks, Diane.
All right, thanks, thank
guys.
You for your
great.
Time.
Thanks. And please feel free to email me or call me. And if I think this bill comes up, it's going to affect Rock County. Obviously, I usually quickly email.
Thank you.
Email Tom. And I try to email everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Back to the consent agenda.
Madam Chair. Move to approve consent agenda item A, our minutes from September 13th, 2016.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Highways Committee, Office and Bridge replacement, or Office and Bridge grant replacements. I have two grants that are being submitted. One is asking for an additional $212,000 for the Butler Creek Bridge. This bridge is under design. We are in right-of-way acquisition. We were granted a grant in 2011. However, since that was pre-designed, since then we've designed the bridge. We've got a 30-foot wide bridge that's 70 feet long. In the design, we are realigning a bit of the road for an easier transition into the bridge that requires a small retaining wall along the side of the road. I'm trying to explain to you the overruns why we're asking for the 212. Small retaining wall, we've got roadway transitions from 30 feet back down to 18 to 20 feet in there. We've had to do some additional concrete work for some of the irrigation ditches that run into the road there as well. The original grant for the Butler Creek Bridge was for $691,000, and after taking a look at our most recent estimate from the engineer, we're approximately $903,000. So we'll be asking for an additional $212,000, 20% county match, 80% coming from the feds, federal grant. So that's the Butler Creek Bridge. The Moon Hill Bridge, we have submitted a grant application in 2014, 2015, and again in 2016. We are getting really close to having the design of that bridge done. Janet and I would like to have that bridge design wrapped up by the end of the year. And I just sent back final comments for them. And then that one will be estimated at, that one is estimated at $1.3 million for that one. $1.1 million, 80% grant match, and then $275,000 match from the account.
Any questions?
You ready for a motion?
Yep.
Madam Chair, move to approve your signature on a grant application to the Special Highways Committee via Colorado Counties Incorporated for $212,134 in additional construction funds for the replacement of the Butler Creek Bridge, the 80% grant $138,240 and county match of $42,427 and approve your signature on the grant application to the Special Highways Committee for replacement of the Moon Hill Bridge, requesting funding in a total amount of $1,375,500, including an 80% grant, $1,100,400, and 20% county match, $275,100.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Why the blue ink? So it scans? Okay, thanks. It's an engineer thing, right?
Yes,
okay.
It
all right.
Really is.
Barb, you want to join us? This is an item for a special events liquor license for Stars. So I will let you take it from there.
This was kind of an interesting one. Walk-in brought it to my attention that this one was sitting in the paper prior to getting a special events. It's at a house. But on that, I have all of my investigation reports in. Even fire, who says that they really don't need to do anything because it's a residence as opposed to
a bar
or something like that. So.
Okay.
Pretty simple. They're just redoing what they should have done.
All
changed
right.
Their dates.
I saw that in the paper.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Did they? Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was that the Wandering Creek Ranch?
Yeah, now it's moved to Anthicus.
That's where it was before.
It was
at a residence, but they just didn't. They hadn't gone for the special events.
I
think it's still at the same place.
Okay.
Well, in any case, we know where it is now.
Yes.
So move to approve and authorize your signature to sign a special events liquor license for Stars. Steamboat Adaptive Recreational Sports to be held at the Acanthus Estate on October 26th, 2016 from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. You good with black ink?
I'm fine with that.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Okay, this is our 1110 item, which is with Carrie Lippman from the Communications Department to discuss an MOU for the Oak Creek Radio Site DTR transfer to Colorado OIT. You can take it from there.
Good morning, Commissioners. Yes.
Good morning.
This should be the last stage of the transfer of the DTR equipment to the state OTI, so they're responsible for the replacement and repairs going forward. Be similar to all of our other sites. This MOU was drafted by the state OIT department and signed off by our legal department, and I believe it should be called a done deal.
So at this point, all of our DTR equipment will be owned by the state.
Correct.
Very good.
That's
a good thing, huh?
Okay.
You ready for a motion?
Yes.
Madam Chair, move to approve and authorize your signature on a memorandum of understanding between Route County and the state of Colorado for the transfer of ownership of the Oak Creek Radio Site's digital trunk radio system.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. This is our 1120 item with our Environmental Health Director to discuss the Phippsburg Wastewater Treatment Facility Lagoon Liner Replacement Project. I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, so we have two requests. The first is consideration to approve a planning grant by and between the Colorado Resources Power Development Authority, as approved by the Water Quality Control Division and Route County for Pittsburgh, and then also consideration for approval to waive the formal purchasing process and authorization of chairperson to sign a professional service agreement for facility improvements planning for the Pittsburgh Wastewater Treatment Facility Lagoon Liner Replacement Project. This is the first of three grants that we'll need to complete this project. This is a planning grant. We received a cost estimate of $2,500 for this work from RG and Associates. The grant would cover 80% of those costs, so our expected final expenditure would be $500. I looked in Section 3.2 of the Rapid County Purchasing Manual citing specific conditions required to waive the formal bidding process. And there were three that I thought were applicable. A particular material or professional service is required in order to standardize or maintain standardization for purpose of reducing financial investment or simplifying administration, where the process may cause undue delay, and waiver of competitive process is found to be in the best interest of the county and its citizens. RG completed and submitted a design memo to the state on time and on budget. They've exceeded my expectations by providing guidance related to these processes that are complicated with these grants and loans. They have highly qualified personnel. They've been through this work before, and in this case, maintaining continuity will allow the county to better meet required deadlines for grant and loan applications. You guys have any questions?
No, that's good information. Thank you for putting that on the record.
You ready for a motion?
Yep.
Move to approve. Actually, we're going to do two motions here, I take it. Two separate motions with two separate votes?
Sure.
Okay. Move to approve a planning grant by and between the Colorado Water Resources and Power Development Authority as approved by the Water Quality Control Division and Rauch County for Phippsburg.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And then before I make the second motion, just a quick question for Scott. That $500 expenditure, will that require a supplemental budget, or do you have that somewhere in your budget?
It will be paid for out of reserves.
Okay.
Pittsburgh reserves.
And that doesn't require a supplemental budget?
It does not.
Okay. Move to waive the formal purchasing process based upon the information provided by Director Kalman and authorize chairperson's signature on a professional services agreement for facility improvements planning for the Phippsburg wastewater treatment facility lagoon liner replacement project to RG and Associates LLC in the amount of $2,500.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
All right.
We're adjourned.